Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for joining our half-year results presentation. I'm very pleased with this set of results. It was another significant progress in the development of CAPE, our group. Very strong progress in every parameter. If I'll start with the investment summary, those are the same as we present usually. So firstly, the market continued to grow fast. We focused on the digital privacy, helping people to protect their digital information. COVID-19 was an accelerator and another expansion in the market. We continue to leverage on our user acquisition model with the private internet access since the second and the third quarter this year. The overall volume started to be significant, with 30% of the new sales of PIA already generated from the CAPE user acquisition platform. Strong earning visibility. 86% of our revenues for the period were on a full SaaS base. We continued and we progressed very well with the integration of PIA. Overall, in the last 4.5 years, we completed successfully 5 earning enhancing acquisitions and developed our ability to identify, integrate, and grow businesses that we are acquiring. And overall, we were able to build up and grow the business in a profitable way, so driving high growth on the top line, on the revenue line, whilst improving the profit margins and building a very robust cash flow for the business. Operational highlights for the first half. Firstly, we continue to build up a very strong visibility on our revenues. This went up to $106.6 million, up from $98.9 million last year. 86% of our revenue is already in subscription base. We started the year that close to 50% of our revenues and revenue guidance for the year already flowing from packages that we sold in previous period, which for us is a very strong position to be in. We made a very strong progress on the product releases. We launched the digital privacy suite. Integration with PIA progressing even better than what we expected, and we aim to complete a full integration by the year end. And in terms of synergies, it will be better than what we initially indicated. So if our initial indication was $3.5 to $4.5 million cost synergies for this year, we expect it to be at the upper range, and we are very confident about it. In addition, we continue to optimize the cost structure of private internet access. And already on the third quarter, we were able to bring down 40% of the monthly run rate of the operational cost for PIA.
CAPE had a very strong financial performance in the period, with very strong growth, both through the integration of PIA and the strong organic growth. Revenue increased by 97% to $59 million. Out of it, $50.8 million were on recurring basis from subscriptions that will drive also future revenues and give us very good visibility on the revenues and profitability of future years. Adjusted EBITDA up by 185% to $16.4 million, an increase of 142% in adjusted earnings per share, both from the very accretive acquisition of PIA and organically to 6.3 cents. Strong cash generation. We are now at the tipping point. So we are now generating more cash from existing user base than the investment in user acquisition. We still are growing very strongly, but the cash conversion improved significantly, adjusted operating cash flow of $8.8 million in the period, and a new senior term debt loan from a bank club consists of Bank of Ireland, Barclays, and Citibank, refinancing the bridge loan from our major shareholder and reducing the cost of debt from L plus 5 to L plus 2. And on track to meet the upper end of our guidance of 120 to 123 million of revenues and 35 to 38 million of EBITDA.
Looking on the market, we continue to see a surge in the cyber attacks targeting consumers, as happened in the last 2-3 years, which led to a growth in the overall awareness and the search of people, both consumers and SMEs, for solutions to better protect their digital life and be more proactive in protecting the information they share online. And CAPE is very well positioned. I think that overall COVID-19 did well in that sense in accelerating the growth in the market. We see mainly in the US that this is our main market, but it's the similar levels in other markets as well, that a lot of people don't really know who collect their digital information, when and how they are using it. It's the same trend that we see in the last few years, and people understand that they need to be more proactive and understand or be better protected in the information they share online. And it's a big concern. We see it as a main pain point for consumers that they want to be better protected and at least have the option to protect their digital information if they want to. COVID-19 created a very interesting situation in the market because a lot of people were working from home, spending much more time connecting to unsecured Wi-Fi connections. They work remotely. They need solutions to protect their digital information or protect their unsecured Wi-Fi network, which led to a very strong uplift that we experienced mainly in our digital privacy division throughout March, April, and May, the three main months of the lockdown around the world. Our product development continued to expand. And one thing that we liked in the first half of the year, that if I look back in the last 3 or even 4 years, we gradually build up a very strong portfolio of software solutions, both on the privacy side and security side. Part of it we've done internally and part of it through acquisition. Intego, as an example, we bought when they were mainly focused on the endpoint security ecosystem for macOS. In the first half, we expanded it and integrated a new endpoint security engine into the Microsoft Virus Initiatives program. And obviously, following the acquisition of PIA, we expanded our product offering further. And all the time, we continue to be customer-centric company because we think that in order to build up a sustainable and a solid SaaS business, we must be customer-centric and not to rush driving cross-promotion, cross-selling by just trying to sell more products to every user. And in the first half of the year, for the first time, we launched the CyberGhost 8, which is the first time that we offered the customer to buy a full or a suite, our own suite, that already including the virtual private network, the endpoint security, password manager, private internet browser, privacy guard, which is a solution to identify data leakages of the operating system, driver updater, and very shortly, we will add a CyberGhost ID Guard to help people to identify breaches of their credentials in the dark web. And one of the tests that we've done is to add the suite of products as a new product to our offering. So not instead of our VPN application, but in addition, and to see how people react to it. And we offered for the same packages to buy the suite of product in a higher price. And 25% of the sales in the test period were people choosing to take the digital suite or the privacy suite, which for us it was much higher than what we expected, especially that it was not instead of our standalone virtual private network, it was another product. We took it off back then because we wanted to drive and complete the integration of the endpoint security, and very soon it will be launched completely. We are not rushing to this because all of our view on cross-selling and cross-promotion is around providing the right offering to the user that will drive high lifetime value. And high lifetime value is either that we'll sell the package in a higher price, or we will drive the high retention, that people will stay with us for much for longer than what they stay with us typically at the moment, which is already in a good level, but there is a lot of room to improve there. So overall, we are very satisfied with the progress, and I think the platform that we're able to build with the digital suite will serve us very well as we continue to expand our product offering in the future.
Looking at our P&L analysis, so revenue grew by 97% to 59 million. If we drill down to the different segments, the digital privacy and the digital security, so digital privacy increased by a staggering 245% in the period to 42.2 million. That includes a 24 million contribution of PIA, but also a 47% increase organically through the products that we had prior to the acquisition. The organic growth was driven by an increase of revenue from existing user base of 180%, and also an increase in revenue from new signups of 7%. In the digital security, we have two moving parts. We have the legacy PC performance products that are broadly stable, declined a bit, around 5%. And we have the endpoint security, Integra endpoint security solutions that are growing nicely. Subscriber base of that products grew by 11% in the period, an annualized increase of 22%, and revenue increased by 6%. Over time, we expect the PC performance products to stabilize and growth in that segment to be driven by Integra endpoint security product through standalone growth and cross-promotion to the subscriber base of the privacy products. Looking at segment results, so again, digital privacy is driving the growth here with 276% increase to 24.6 million with an improved margin. So margins are expanding to 53.6% overall for both segments. That's also because of the higher proportion of revenue from existing users that we are not required to invest in user acquisition and marketing in order to generate this revenue. We expect this trend in margin expansion to continue in the next few periods. Looking at the operating expenses, so we have significant operating leverage. Other than the contribution of PIA in the period, we didn't see a significant increase in operational expenses despite the increase in revenue. The only place we've increased investment is the R&D line, and that's due to our efforts to drive the product development and provide a more complete suite to our users. Adjusted EBITDA increased to 16.4 million, an increase of 185%, and again, expansion in EBITDA margin to 27.8% compared to 19% in the comparable period. The two drivers for that, as I mentioned, a higher proportion of recurring revenue and significant operational leverage. Moving on to a revenue analysis by geography. So our strategy focuses on tier one countries where the lifetime value, the retention rates are higher. Around 50% of our revenue in the period, 49% were generated in North America. The other a significant area is Western Europe, UK, Germany, France, and other countries worth mentioning are Japan and Australia. Again, countries where the lifetime value is higher. If we look at our subscription mix, more than 90% of our revenue and subscribers are more than 1 year. Again, our efforts to increase lifetime value, increase retention rates, and makes us sell longer term subscriptions. We have 12 months, 18 months, and 3 years subscription, and that's the focus of our business. Moving on to the cash flow analysis. So significant improvement in cash conversion in the period. Operating cash flow attributable to the current year was 19.2 million. Out of it, 10.5 million was reinvested in user acquisition. Overall, an operating cash flow of 8.8 million, cash conversion of 53% from adjusted EBITDA, and significant improvement from what we saw in 2019, we expect this trend to continue while we still invest significantly in user acquisition and growing our subscriber base. Capitalized development costs remain stable in the period at 1.2 million compared to 1.1 in the comparable period, and that's despite an increase in R&D costs. Our policy is to keep the capitalized development flat, so reduce the portion of capitalized development out of total cost. At the end of the year, our balance sheet consists of $17 million of cash and a net debt of around $25 million. That means an operational leverage below one, which means that our margin over debt is 1.85% over LIBOR.
Looking on our cohort analysis, and on the left-hand side is the numbers excluding the impact of the subscriber base of private internet access. On the right-hand side is exactly the same cohort analysis, but adding the PIR customer base. As we've done with the CyberGhost and Integro in the past, when we started to execute on user acquisition campaigns for them in June 2017, we were able to accelerate significantly the overall growth from new sales, new signups. Private Internet Access is a company that didn't do any user acquisition, grow in a more organic way, lower pace than what we've done with Cape. And this is part of the thing that we liked in the deal. And now we're fully integrated to Cape. We started to execute on a user acquisition activity or campaigns for Private Internet Access second quarter this year. And every month we've seen a very strong improvement, and we are not even close to the overall potential. But the beauty of the combined entity that the cohort analysis and the subscriber base is very solid. The combination of more younger cohorts in addition to the older, more mature cohorts coming to joining us from private internet access with very strong internal retention rates puts us in a very strong position. It leads me to give an update on the integration with private internet access. We are now 9 months into the integration program. For my experience, it's always hard to close a deal or bring a deal to the final line, and it's harder to integrate it properly. And I'm very happy with the progress so far. Already, the Cape user acquisition platform generate 30% of the new sales of private internet access. In August, it was roughly 8,000 new sales on top of the organic sales of PIA, which is roughly 22,000 new sales a month. Cost savings, as we indicated previously, the guidance for the year was $3.5 to $4.5 million of cost savings. We will be very comfortably towards the upper end of this savings. Every contract that gets to renewal, we use it as an opportunity to merge the providers and suppliers across the group and renegotiate the terms. As of the third quarter this year, we already were able to reduce the operational cost base of private internet access by 40%. And the two areas that we focus initially, one was the combining together the two customer support teams was completed, and we see a very good uplift in all the customer support metrics. If it's the time that takes us to pick up a new customer support ticket, the time that it takes us to resolve the ticket, and we are seeing a very good improvement in the overall customer satisfaction ratios of private internet access. And overall, we're able to increase the top line, to grow the subscriber base, to grow the revenues of private internet access, reduce the cost, and in addition, which is always difficult, to combine the two corporate cultures together. And I'll give you a little bit more details later on in a few slides. On the marketing side, now private internet access enjoying from the firepower of Cape in expanding the marketing channels. We integrated the business intelligence platform of Cape into private internet access to help us to support the decision-making process in the go-to-market strategy. We expanded to a new channel that the private internet access was not active in the past, a lot of influencers, YouTubers, bloggers that write and promote about digital privacy. And the result is a consistent uplift in the new sales generated from the CAPE user acquisition platform. On the right-hand side, you see that the first test was there, were done in February. The main scale we did in April 2020, around 4,000 new subscribers on top of the organic growth of PA. And every month we are able to improve it. In August, it was already close to 8,000, and the potential is massive. We look on what we're able to do with CyberGhost, of taking CyberGhost from 150,000 subscribers to more than 650,000 subscribers today, and we'll be able to do not even the same rate, even 50 or 70% growth rates in the subscriber base of private internet access, it will be phenomenal, and we're very certain we'll be able to achieve that. Customer support was another area that we focused, and you see that we're able to improve the metrics very well. Another thing worth mentioning is the integration of the generation 4 of our infrastructure technology. And one of the areas that we identified and wanted to do very, very early on in the integration process. It's one of the competitive advantages of CAPE, and it's very unique how we operate our customer support or infrastructure that enable us over time, like what we've done with CyberGhost, now has happening with private internet access, that the overall infrastructure cost per subscriber is going down, and the trend is significant further improvement in the future, whilst we were able to improve the quality of service. And this is worth mentioning. So we are not just trying to push down the cost, not at all. We the beauty with our platform that we know to balance automatically the cost to maintain the network and the level of service and provide our customers superior service that enable us to connect the internet in a secure, private, stable, and fast connections. So we are very happy with the progress to date. And lastly, regarding the integration, is the combination of the two teams together. It's always the more sensitive area of combining or driving integration between two organizations. And we did very well in that sense. Obviously, at the beginning, we had 2 or 3 weeks of uncertainties within the two teams, but very quickly, we were able to start and get the teams working together. The R&D people and the management team of private internet access taking significant roles in our digital privacy division and driving the product roadmap very nicely. We already completed two big R&D projects. One is the implementation of the WireGuard protocol, a completely new encryption protocol across all of our digital privacy properties, implementing the infrastructure, the network of servers into PIA, as well as integrating some of the PIA products into the digital privacy suite or the privacy suite that we launched for CyberGhost, the private internet browser. Overall, we see we're able to maintain very strong retention, and the turnover in the team was less than 3% overall. CAPE is now in a very privileged position. We are working in a fast-growing market that already very large and will continue to grow in the next few years. We are growing fast and growing our market share. We have the resources to invest in our growth, and we already in a very strong cash profile. We will continue to expand further our subscriber base. One of the things that we like in the period that we're able to improve the quality of our subscriber base even further, and moving people from the more shorter, long-term packages to the long-term packages, the more than a year package that drive higher lifetime value. The product development in the period was very strong. It took us time to get to a stage that all the backend technology and the infrastructure is in the right place in order to launch this, the privacy suite, and we are very pleased with the performance. The user acquisition platform is a very strong asset of Cape and enable us to grow our customer base and our revenues and not being dependent on third party, which is a huge advantage. And lastly, we're in acquisitive mode. And like we've done so far, that we were able to take Cape and build it to a strong platform that knows to drive high organic growth. Plus executing on earning enhancing acquisition and incorporating very well businesses that we acquired, we will continue to do so. And we already have a very solid pipeline of potential targets that will help us to expand our product offering further. And it's definitely something that we will continue to do. At this stage, we finished the formal presentation, and I'm happy to take any questions you may have.
And we've got a question from Michael Hill from FinCap. Go ahead and ask your question.
Great, thank you. Can I just check, as you launch new products through the Privacy Suite, could you talk a bit about how you're thinking about charging for them versus making a product free to existing subscribers to boost retention? And then also, as you look to expand the range of products, how do you look at building organically, partnering, or acquiring?
Thank you, Michael. So, firstly, we are a SaaS business. And to be a successful software as a service company, we need to build up our subscriber base, drive high retention, and improve the average order value over time. The way we look on launching new products or launching or selling the digital or the privacy suite to our customers, we look at it on two ways. One is to increase the subscription fee. Secondly, is to improve the retention rate over time, that the lifetime of the user of our subscriber will be longer and will get longer over time. So in the first test that we've done, we offered the suite in a higher price compared to what we sell similar package for a standalone VPN only application, and we saw very good results. So, but it's something that we will decide over time, and we might change it along the way in order to, based on what will help us to drive higher lifetime value over time. Regarding your second question, we have the flexibility to do three things, and this is part of the way we design the infrastructure of our privacy suite. That it will enable us, one, to add more features that will be developed through our own research and development team, or to move faster and be even more flexible by doing joint ventures with third party to combine a solution to our suite of product. But obviously, it will be all done in the back end and the user interface, and the suite will be a Cape suite. Or through an acquisition. The first test that we've done was with a company called Passcamp, one of our partners, that we integrated the password manager solution into the suite in order to test how flexible and how we are comfortable we are in integrating product or executing on joint ventures to add to our suite, and it works very well. Obviously, it's opened up opportunities for future developments or acquisition with solutions that we'll see that they perform very well, and we will want to edit or control the solution in-house. As well as the way we look on acquisition, and this is part of the bigger picture of our branding strategy, and we brought on board a new marketing director recently to help us and build up the branding strategy and the overall marketing strategy in the next couple of years, is that we want to execute on additional acquisition and to add a further product to our solution, but the main brands will be private internet and CyberGhost. We will move away gradually from our multi-brand strategy to focus on those two main brands in order to build up the suite around those two brands. That private internet will be mainly focused on North America. Starbucks was mainly focused on European, the natural markets, and to build up a strong lifetime value and very loyal subscriber base for the two brands. Right?
And we'll now go to Martin O'Sullivan at Shore Cap. Go ahead and ask your question, Martin.
Yes, hi there. Thanks very much for taking my questions. Two, if I may. Firstly, you clearly have a very significant cross-sell opportunity emerging at this point with the dashboard and the new products, etc. How encouraged are you by the early fruits of that effort at this point? And what ultimately is the opportunity here in terms of average number of products per user, say in 3 years' time, or average revenue per user?
So we look on cross-promotion slightly different than some of our competitors. We are not rushing to sell more product to every customer. And we want to, and the reason we developed this dashboard or privacy suite is to have a more offering that will offer more seamless user or user-friendly experience, that it won't be a portfolio of independent a product that are not really communicating and work in coordination. It will be all done through one client account, one dashboard, in order to be more significant in the daily digital life of each one of our subscribers, and through that to improve the overall lifetime value of every customer. So it's not just to increase the average revenue per user, it's either to drive up the average order value or to improve the retention even further. And this is the way we look at it. And the first test that was done with the privacy suite showed us a very good results that encouraged and gave us the confidence to continue and drive forward with this approach.
Okay, thank you. And you said that you're continuing to evaluate M&A opportunities. I'm just wondering, has your appetite for these actually increased in recent months as PIA has bedded down? And if so, what type of product areas are you most interested in?
So, as you correctly mentioned, in the first quarter or even the first half, we wanted to make sure that we digest and integrate the private internet access properly into the Cape Group. And we are very happy with the way it's progressing, and our appetite to execute on another acquisition is there, and we're already building a very strong pipeline of companies that we monitor their progress and performance and building up our investment case with areas that we think could add value to our overall product offering. The view now is to mainly focus on expanding our product offerings, so not like PIA that was more of a consolidation play. We are looking for areas like helping people protect their online identities, protecting home Wi-Fi networks, identifying devices connected to the internet and their activity online in order to map and identify the customers with abnormal activity. So those are the areas that we are looking at. It's fair to assume that the next acquisition will more likely will be in the, more or less the same size as the acquisition of private internet access. And we are looking to continue and execute on earning enhancing acquisition, proven solutions that will be able to benefit from the integration into K, both for into our suite of product, as well as benefiting from the strong user acquisition platform that we have in the group, like we've done in the last five acquisitions we completed.
And we'll go to Ian Poulter from Progressive Equity Research.
This is just a quick question, really. You're obviously investing hard in product development and improving the customer experience, but what's the biggest concern in terms of competitive threat at the moment? Is it on the product side or marketing spend by competitors or their level of investment in the customer's experience? I suppose I'd really like to know which is the area that you see as most urgent for your investment at the moment.
We work in a competitive market. Some of our competitors are more traditional companies, the large AV groups that try to penetrate and grow their proposition in the digital privacy market. Some of them are more direct competitors that are developing a more digital privacy first strategy. And we always try to want to make sure that we have the right products in place. Secondly, that the performance and the level of service is high. One of the things that we're proud of that we're able to improve the performance of service over time whilst growing significantly our subscriber base, which is not straightforward to do. In addition, and we are getting to a stage, and this is an area that we now big enough to start and put more focus on, is the branding strategy. CAPE so far was mainly performance marketing oriented, with private internet access for the first time, bringing a very strong brand that was built up gradually in organic way to the group. And the decision to focus on private internet as the main brand with CyberGhost and as a secondary brand, it's something that we feel that this is the right time, and it will help us to raise the profile of the group even further in the future, especially when we compete with the large AV companies. And so far it worked out very well, that we're able to grab significant market share, grow faster than the market. And I think that the next step is to build up a more or stronger brand recognition across of our key markets.
And now we'll go to George O'Connor from Stifel.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. So I'll ask two in that case. So firstly, from me, how are products mapping onto geographies at the moment? Are there any particular trends coming out there? And then secondly, sort of discovery on my part. Are you exposed to third-party data on your user acquisition platform? Thank you.
Okay, so in terms of the product per geographies, we offer our products to all of our markets. The more sophisticated or advanced digital privacy market is North America, which especially following the acquisition of private internet access is our main market, where we see a very strong demand from people to gain back the control on the information they share online. Worth mentioning that our most of our users' average age is between 25 to 35, which it's the younger generation that we're already growing into the internet era and understand the value in losing control on the digital information. Beyond that, we don't have too many differences in terms of the product offerings between certain markets. You want to take the third party?
So when we market, our biggest marketing channel is our affiliate network, where we are not exposed to third-party data on our users. We don't keep any logs. We don't keep any data on our users as well. When we market through PPC, Google, Bing, and so on, so we use the tools that are available on these platforms that consist of the data that these players have on the users, but we don't store it or expose to them on a manual basis, on the automatic tools to optimize the marketing spend.
Just one thing to add is that I remind you that we don't offer any free solutions. We are paid only a software provider, and the only way we make money is selling subscription to our software. We don't monetize the data of our users. We don't control or collect or profile any data of our users, and we don't distribute advertisements. Very simple and straightforward operational model.
And we'll now go to David Johnson from Allenby Capital.
Hi, gentlemen. Just a quick question on the investment in growth line, or the kind of capitalized acquisition cost. Presumably, H1 benefited from the PIA base, where you weren't spending to acquire those customers because they had a portion of their subscriptions to run. Going forward, can you provide any kind of guidance as to what level you would expect that investment in growth line to be, and what, how should it be dropping as a percentage of revenue?
So first of all, PIA, we started investing in user acquisition for PIA in the second quarter. It's growing gradually, so you're right when you're saying it's not significant, but we'll see that in the second half and going forward, it will grow. The 10 million is the net addition to the user acquisition capitalized cost. So it's basically the capitalization minus the amortization. Since the amortization is growing over time, because in 2019 we increased the marketing spend significantly, we think that we expect that addition in the asset, in the capitalized user acquisition asset, will stay flat going forward. So around 10 million every period, every 6 months. And in the long term, 3-4 years, we expect it to decrease gradually when the amortization will be higher than the capitalization, and the asset will decrease gradually.
And we'll go to Casper Erskine from N+1 Singer.
Hi, guys. Just a very quick one from me on geographic reach. I mean, you seem to be sort of very weighted towards US, and it's understandable why. It's the fastest growing market and easily the most developed out there. But going forward, do you see a similar opportunity in Europe? You appear quite well placed over there as well. And in terms of some emerging market exposure, I'm assuming they're much more focused on premium models still rather than premium. But do you see a longer term opportunity over there as well?
So firstly, like in our case and many other digital industries, usually the early adopters are in the US predominantly. So this is a big market with a significant amount of early adopters. And Europe or Western Europe is usually one leg behind. I think that we already see the expansion in Europe, and until a year ago, 2 years ago, people say, oh, I'm usually using the VPN to watch English football when I'm on holiday in Spain. We're getting less question around this today, that people understand that they need to protect better the digital information. Obviously, the GDPR regulation was a very strong process by the regulator to change the mindset of people as well from the consumer side and from the organization side to set clear rules of how corporates can collect and profile consumer data. So we focus on countries and markets that will drive high lifetime value over time, because we want to build up a scalable and sustainable SaaS revenue model. We offer our product to emerging markets as well. We see a big difference in terms of the overall churn rates and lifetime value in those markets compared to a more developed countries. It probably will take time, but we are very consistent with our approach to build up our subscriber base gradually, and that will drive high lifetime value. It's working very well for us so far. The recurring revenue base of Cape today is by far better than ever it was. The fact that we started this year with close to 50% of our revenues already from subscribers and packages we sold in previous year, then we were able to go through all the pandemic and COVID-19 months whilst not changing our focus. Other way around, if we look historically, usually the split in the year is more 40% first half, 60% second half. This year we already delivered 50% of our revenues for the year in the first half. And the reason for that is because we have very strong quality of earnings, the visibility of revenues in a very good level, and this is partially because we focus on markets that drive high lifetime value in our subscriber base.
Just another comment on markets. It's easier for us to operate in Western democracies where the authorities advocate online privacy in places like China or Russia, where they either ban or makes you keep logs on the users. We don't operate because we value the privacy of our users, and we also want to comply with regulations. So that's also a reason why our business is more towards the Western democracies of the world.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. And just one follow-up, on your views on competitive dynamic at the moment. I mean, optically, it still looks as if there's a number of VPNs within the market, but as you rightly pointed out before, a number of these VPNs are actually all owned by the same parent company. I mean, some parents own up to 5 or 6 different VPN brands. Have you noticed a continuation of that consolidation trend over the last year through lockdown?
Yeah, definitely. So firstly, you're absolutely right that it might look from a quick desktop search that we work in a fragmented market, but it's much less than it was in the past because of significant consolidation and the small, medium players are not able to compete and offer the same level of service as the market grow. Most of the brands are owned by 5 or 6 different groups. We've seen a few weeks ago the acquisition of Aura that operates the Identity Guard buying the Pango business with their VPN brands. Obviously, J2 Global following the acquisition of the consumer VPN business of StackPath with the IP Vanish and 6 or 7 different brands in their portfolio. We see because we have the exposure of the opportunities in the market that this continue to happen. But the way we look at it, we are not so interested to just buy user base. It's not super important for us. We know to grow our subscriber base the way we like to do it in a fully independent way and prefer to utilize our M&A efforts to expand and drive forward our product strategy. But definitely we see a few consolidation opportunities in the market at the moment as an example of continued M&A activity in the space.
So that's the end of the questions. Ido, do you have any closing remarks?
Thank you very much for joining us today. Again, we are extremely pleased with this set of results. The group continue to develop very strongly in all of our strategic initiatives, which leaves us very confident with future performance and what else we can do in order to build up a very robust offering and grow our subscriber base over time. So thank you very much, and hope to see you all very soon.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.